Hello and welcome aboard the Good Ship Culture with me, Robert Bound, where this week we're echoing, like sonar, the theme of the Just In Shops Monocle magazine and going on sea. A couple of weeks ago, I sent myself off on assignment aboard a big cruise ship to profile that most misunderstood area of the arts, cruise ship entertainers. Today's show will contain glittery curtains, shiny floors, jazz hands, high kicking, and some wonderful talent bobbing about on the ocean. That's all ahead on today's episode of Culture with me, Robert Bound. So we're all at sea on today's show. What sea? The Mediterranean. What ship? The MSC Preziosa. And why? Well, because Monocle magazine's June issue is nautically themed, and so I boarded a cruise in Rome and hopped off in Marseille, but not before getting the lowdown on the world of cruise ship entertainers. Cruises these days are only as good as their onboard entertainment offering, and the Italian MSC line is particularly proud of its glittery gowned acts. Singers, dancers, acrobats, themed knights, animators that spark up any old cocktail bar with a game and some banter, everything is thought of. First of all, we'll meet Franco Pilli, the MSC Preziosa's cruise director, an old hand with a young heart and matchless energy for running around, talking fluently and constantly in half a dozen languages, and being the very voice of the ship. For up to 5 months at a time, Franco administers to everything from aerobics classes to the big nightly shows in the 1,600-seater showpiece theatre. So first up, I give you Franco Pilli.
The shop manager is managing all shops and boutiques on board, all of them, of course, with the best brands from around the world. Il manager che gestisce tutti I negozi e boutique a bordo, tutte con le migliori marche provenienti da tutto il mondo.
The cruise director is, amongst other things, also the voice of the ship. The cruise director is more a guy of the entertainment shows, you know, and that. And they chose to leave the cruise director in his civil clothes, you know, in a sober elegance, but not without the stripes. I'm not sure that's quite appropriate for a cruise director. I mean, I like to be fun on stage, and some cruise directors, for example, in some other companies, they tell jokes before they, you know, before they present the shows and so on. And, you know, if you are in a uniform, somehow you're bound to be a little bit more serious, you know what I mean?
Feel like you should be saluting rather than bowing.
Yeah, a bit more too sober, perhaps, you know. And like I have, like when I introduce the show, when I come on stage, I have this, which is has become a little bit like my brand. I do like a thing, you know, and it's fun. The people, they laugh because I cannot tell jokes. We have 65 different nationalities and so many different languages. I already speak in the five main languages here in the Mediterranean, which is English, French, Spanish, Italian, and German. So you cannot tell jokes. So what I do is the strange move, you know, and the people, they laugh. You know.
A visual joke, it's good. So in terms of the entertainment offering, Franco, you've got, I mean, I can't believe it, this is the first time I've been on a big cruise ship, but we've just seen a show on the main, in your main theatre here. I mean, packed out. How many seats are there? And how many entertainers do you have on board any one time, from a piano player in one of the smaller bars to one of the big shows like tonight?
Well, this theatre is really amazing. And still today, the first time I worked in a theatre like this one was on the sister ship, the Splendida. And I remember, imagine my face when I saw it. It was like my own mouth open and wow. Whoa, it's over 1,600 places, so 1,607 or something like that. And it's a theater equipped with a state-of-the-art technology for lights, and the stage itself moves, turns and moves up and down, and a huge sound system and so on. It's really something to be proud of. I believe that even big cities on land, they'd be fantastically happy and proud to have a theater like this. And we have a floating one carrying our audience all the time with us. So that's something. It's like a dream. It's like a dream.
It's like il sogno italiano.
Un sogno italiano, yeah, something like that. Yeah, you're right.
And tell us about putting together a show like that. That's the Italian Dream. That's the idea. These are the Italian classics. There's a bit of cabaret in there. How much do these shows change? Well, they very much, they're focused on the classics and people come on board because they want to hear these particular songs in a show like tonight for this evening.
And we have nearly 90 people working in the whole department, entertainment department, which is made of dancers, singers, acrobats, sound technicians for the theater, for the various lounges and so on, musicians, and we call them animators. They would be the crew staff, you know. They go around in costume like you saw tonight, according to the theme of the evening. Tonight is like Italian evening. They go dressed in like a little bit a classical Italian style, you know, like the tarantella, the Neapolitan costume and stuff like that. So the company, they choose a certain theme, certain themes for the cruise for every day. Like yesterday we had the tribute, you know, with a classical tribute to arias, operas and classical pieces. Today it was more like a tribute to the Italian origins of the company with the most popular Italian songs, you know, that globally known around the world. And tomorrow we'll have another one which is like, it's a global theme as well, based on popular fairy tales. And the central figure is like the white princess, the black princess, the hat man, and Alice, who get lost in this magic world. So tomorrow it's another very interesting show. And then we have like another one, which is Alma Latina, day after tomorrow, which is a Latin show with the typical Havana and Cuban Latin American costumes. Shows that you can see in Las Vegas, for example, you know, like the Mambo King. And you can also see on have similar shows like on Broadway as well, you know. So we're going to have one like that. And then we have one, like, say, it's a little tribute to the French call, which is one of the main calls during our itinerary, summer itinerary in Marseille. And we will have, I like to describe it as a triangle between ancient Rome, ancient Egypt, and ancient France, up to modern France nowadays, because it involves characters like Asterix and Obelix and Caesar and Cleopatra and all this strange triangle, and the story, you know, made up with Asterix and Obelix, ending with modern Paris today with the can-can and so on. So
sounds like you can sing a history lesson after all.
Yeah, exactly. So it's somehow connected also a little bit to the itinerary and to the cultures of the countries that we visit during the cruise. So it's something very exciting. It's really nice.
There's a lot of audience interaction with the shows. It's that classic kind of cabaret thing of feeling like making a big theatre feel small and all the rest of it. There's that interaction. Do you speak to the audience and ask them what they liked best, what they didn't like? How close do you monitor what the audience kind of seem to enjoy the most?
I have seen that what you can have in a 7 days cruise, you can have like two or three shows based on dancing and singing. But then the other shows, you must have something more, like an acrobatic act or a special act, you know, to make it more like tomorrow, for example. Today it was only dancing and singing, but tomorrow we will have mainly acrobatic acts and dancing and choreographies and pictures, and it's based a lot of on the lights, on the costumes, and on the atmosphere, the music, and acrobatic acts, amazing acrobatic acts. So you must have at least four times in a cruise, four shows where you have also acrobatic acts inside. That's what the people want to see.
Well, let's meet these acrobats then. Michael and Zibi are 24-year-old Polish performers who've been working together for 10 years. After backflipping their way through circuses and large-scale productions around the world, they've boarded the MSC Preziosa to sprinkle in a touch of the much-needed gymnastic skill that Franco was talking about. They tell me about their acrobatic style and how on earth you stay stable on the sea.
This is what we do, particularly is hand to hand. So it's a hand balancing act, And this is mainly that we do. Production gave for us like opportunities to fit in into the show. They provide music and things. But the other stuff, like technical things and elements, transitions between elements, this is what we choose. So we had our time to practice with music, to fit in into the production.
Tell us about the kind of the pecking order amongst the performers, because you guys have been doing, you have to train very hard. You can't do this kind of thing on a hangover, can you? I was looking at you guys last night and thinking, wow, what happens if one guy has a restless night, you know, and has to carry the other guy up the stairs? You presumably have to train very hard and take a lot of care of yourself, and you have to presumably look out for the other guy.
Yeah, our life is quite like boring because it's every day almost the same, like routine. In the morning we practice in the theater together. After we go to the gym, like special diet, stuff like this. So yeah, it's like every day the same.
This is mostly what we do for a living. So you treat this very professional and serious. If you go, someone is going to work in the office, it's going to work in the office, like full focused and energized to do. We are enjoying this, what we are doing. That's why we keep attention to everything. And ship can provide you like good life because you have crew gym, you have theater, so you can always practice. As well, you can enjoy yourself because you can see beautiful places around in the world. So it's amazing. And yeah, it's true. You need to maintain some level of performance. And of course, you're artist, so you know what you should do. You know your duties. You like to do it, so training is priority always.
Tell us about your training then, because that's obviously an important part of it. Do you have a thing you have to do every day? Do you have to wake up? Do you have to do weights? Do you have gymnastic kind of practice equipment here on the ship? How does that work?
You don't want to get fatigued in one day that much, because you need to consider that couple days, like you have shows, so you try to be in the best shape to feel good. But mostly when you wake up in the morning, we follow as well common sense, because we do this for quite a long time. So we have our habits and we know how to listen our body. So we know, okay, now we can push harder so we can do more. Today we can do less, focus on technique or strength. It depends really on flexibility. You can just do stretching, but it's this consistent that you do all the time. And you know how to listen signals from your body, what is telling to you, how far you can go in this day. So mostly there is routine that we wake up in the morning. We of course try to train in the port. So like this, we avoid that ship is not moving, it's stable. Then when we start practicing, we practice like for 2 hours. And then when we are coming back, we try to have some good meal in. And then if we are feeling good, this we train like separately. We go to the gym. My partner ZB train a little bit more with weights. I try to train more with my body weight exercises, such as pull-up, dips, and so on. There is like huge routine involved, but it's our life, it's pleasure.
And have you ever snatched a hamburger out of Michael's hands? It doesn't get too heavy?
We had something like this 1 year ago, I think. No, it was 2 years ago in the ship. Yeah, because, you know, it was our first contract, so you have a lot of food here in the ship.
Like, try everything.
Yeah. Looking just there, yeah. So for the first month, we gained like 7-8 kilograms. Yeah, so it was like very difficult. Yeah.
But after I got shredded again, so it was good.
Once you've been dropped, you keep away from the buffet.
It's like that you are dropped. It's just a little bit harder to perform. It's true, it's risky, even more.
I was thinking this last night when we went backstage, and we were just looking at how steep the ramp is that comes off of the back of the stage, and thinking of the girls in their heels, the dancers, and then thinking of you guys, actually, if that ship moves, how on earth do you carry him up the stairs? How do you do all that stuff? Was that something you had to get used to? I mean, I've asked a lot of performers about the difference between performing on land and performing on a ship, but presumably the movement of the boat, can you train for that? Is it something you just do instinctively?
Yesterday was a little bit rough, but it was still not the biggest experience that we had. We performed when it was a lot more moving. It's quite dangerous, but when you are on the stage and you are not focusing about this, what is going on around you, you are just focusing to do your own elements, and then you can feel this balance a little bit better. I'm aware of this, that ship is moving, but to be honest, during the show, I'm not feeling this. For me, it's a little bit easier because I'm on top, so ZB is taking all the waves and he need to adjust to go with me by the stairs. But yeah, it's dangerous, it's hard, but we have time to practice. But you can't like have your prediction what will happen in a moment. When the ship is going to the left or right, it's impossible. You just do your stuff.
There aren't that many jobs for acrobats in the world. So this is presumably a good, I mean, ships, cruise ships, this kind of thing is presumably a growth industry. It's presumably something where you guys can shine, and it's a place to be discovered. It's also a place you've been discovered to be here in the first place. But is this actually a big deal for performers of your type?
It depends which level you are in, but because the entertainment, it's huge, and it depends what its requirements for the shows. But shows are all over the world, so as soon as you are doing some good job, you can find work everywhere.
Behind the scenes, let's meet Bogdan Risteea, the very level-headed Romanian theatre production coordinator aboard the Preziosa. He talks me through how you put an international group of performers together to create a ship-shaped show.
My job is to keep the group together, first of all. So, for example, I communicate with the company, with Web Entertainment. So, if we have any problems on board, I need to communicate them to the company. If we have some changes during the shows, I need to communicate them to the cast. So, I'm trying to, first of all, keep the group together and work as a team. This is my job.
How changing are the staff amongst the theatre performers?
More or less every 6 months, more or less, the people start to change in the theatre. Now it depends, there are people that are having contracts for 10 months, there are people that are having contracts for 3 months, but full cast, usually 6 months.
And it's an interesting thing, when I was speaking to Franco yesterday, he said, you know, he was travelling around, he was playing the guitar, he was playing folk music and stuff in Sardinia, and he was kind of some producer found him and discovered him, and he went and worked on ships. What about you? Do you feel that this is a good place to be discovered, or do you feel that you've been discovered and this is the place that you do your job now?
No, it's also a good place to be discovered because you have a lot of things to learn, especially, and then you have also a lot of groups that can pass here and see that you are doing a good job and they can take them with you. Also, it's a good place to work, not just a good place to be discovered. It's a good place to work.
And in terms of WEP Entertainment, that's the company that manages the performers in the theatre. Maybe it'd be nice to know about them. Where are they based and how long have you worked with them?
They're based in Lugano, and I've worked with them since I started working on the ship, so late 2008. They have 6 ships, I think.
And so they employ all sorts of different, yes, everything from presumably like magicians to opera singers.
From technicians to singers to acrobats to dancers to all what the theatre cast they are employing.
When you're putting together groups of performers, like the group that were doing the cabaret last night, we'll see groups all week, I guess. How do those groups come together? Do you put them together, or do they come to you as a fully formed unit and say, we want a job, or look at our routine? How does it work?
No, usually the recruitment is made by the shore office. So they have many people who are sending demos, and they say, okay, this group can go in this show that we have on this ship. So usually works like that.
Where do people get talent spotted? Is it in small clubs and things on land, or is it YouTube? How does it work?
They make like auditions, and when they are not making auditions, they get Skype interviews for singers. It's easy to put a video now, yeah, with another person's voice, and then when you come on board, you're like, oh yeah. It happens. Yeah. So they are making Skype interviews for singers and demos for the dancers, videos from the acrobats.
I mean, you know, it's a ship. There's a lot of people on it. It's close quarters. It's not always plain sailing, I guess. But what generally is the vibe?
For me, always the ship was like high school. people who were in high school, they know that how is the same. It's the same here. Like, for example, we are the theater class, and we have the other classes. And yes, the atmosphere is great. Like in high school, you have your group, and it's like that.
You get to travel all over the world doing this thing. Is that? I mean, it's obviously one of the perks of the job.
Yeah.
You ever thought of jumping ship?
No.
Really?
It's an experience to go to see other nationalities, other countries, other places, beautiful places. But then you realize also what you have at home. So, because at the end, you're a stranger in other people's country. So you feel like that. So, no, I wouldn't jump ship.
He's a good straight-talking sort of chap, isn't he? Bogdan, serious-minded about the business of singing and dancing. But let's end where we started with the man who pulls it all together, the indefatigable cruise director Franco Pilli. What are the trends in cruising? Is there an American style different to this European glitziness? And entertainment-wise, how does he keep the whole thing afloat, smiling and projecting right to the back of the dress circle?
There is, I think, a great market in America for this style of cruising. Because many people who did already a lot of cruising in America, some of them, they are already, like, how can I say, fed up. They are open to see new things, a new style. I know that our multilingual thing is, you know, when I start to present in five languages, some of the British and American audiences say, oh la la, that takes a long time. It's the same thing in five languages. But some of them, they like it because it's a different atmosphere. It's a cosmopolitan, a global atmosphere where English, anyway, is the first language. You know, I also when I make general announcements around the ship, I always start in English because English is the ship's language. It's a global language. I'm Italian, but I am also a little bit, I said yesterday to Rose and Stephen, I'm half English as well. I live in England. I'm married like for 20 years with an English girl who was a dancer before. I have a child, 5 years old, who's half Italian, half English. And I live in Weston-super-Mare, the way in Somerset. So, and I've realized very, very early that English would be a global language. And today, I'm happy to see this like this. So this connects everybody. Also, those people, we have like, for example, nearly 300, no more. We have nearly 700 Israeli on board right now. We have like 150 Chinese, you know, 80 Russians. And it's all made up of 65, 70 different nationalities. And the languages, those people, they don't speak German, French, Spanish, Italian. But most of them, or many of them, they understand English because it's a global language. So that's connect, again, you know, connects all the people, everybody here.
So it sounds like you're going to have to add a couple more languages to your phenomenal arsenal, Franco.
Well, I try to greet everybody when I start. I greet like in 20 languages, you know, and when I thank at the end, I thank again in as many languages as I can. And the most recent I've learned is like the Irish, God of Mahagot, Kit Mi La Folcha, and the guests, they teach me, you know. Or they came, Finnish people, they came and said, yeah, but you didn't say thank you in Finnish, it's kitos. Okay, so I put kitos then. Every couple of weeks I put another new one at the end of the thanking.
Il maestro di cucina dirige un team di oltre 280 professionisti.
You were recruited by a producer when you were singing in Sardinia. How do you recruit people? What are you looking for? I mean, are you involved in that part of things as well?
They write to me and they're asking for work, and I give them further to the production companies because we have two production companies. They share the fleet, half and half, let's say. So they hire the artists, they have an art director, they have the choreographers, they have the costume designers, the tailors, they have the contacts worldwide with many agents all around the world. And in cooperation with them, they hire artists, because also it's growing more and more and more and more and more. Consider that until the year 2026, the company will have 11 new ships, seven of them like 165,000 tons for 5,600 guests, and four of them 200,000 tons for, I guess, 6,500 guests approximately. So we need more and more and more.
That's a lot of top hats and stilettos.
A lot of top hats.
What have you found to be the difference between working and performing on sea and on the land? Is there something that makes it, is the different environment when you're on the sea to when you're on the land, if you know what I mean? A different expectation, or just a different kind of, everyone's kind of in the same place and they know they're in the same place. There's kind of a bit more of a holiday atmosphere maybe.
You know, one of the major differences is that in a holiday camp or in a resort, people, they have dinner there, you know, but then they can't go out. You know, many of them go out. Here, they can't go anywhere. They have to stay on board. They have no choice. So in the evening, they have dinner and then they stay here. They go out perhaps during the day on excursion stuff. But that's a major difference. And the ship is moving. Today you are in Civitavecchia, in Rome, tomorrow, or day after, you're in Palma, and one day you are all day at sea, there's no way to go, so you have to entertain, you have to offer more entertainment to the people, lots of entertainment everywhere. So, I mean, we have like many places where we have live music, for example, and many more places than you would have in a resort. And also much more entertainment that you will have in a resort. We have a lot more on a cruise ship, especially on the big ones. Of course, the bigger the ship, the more opportunities you have to be entertained, the more products are there to be entertained. And this is the, I believe, the great advantages of the cruise ships, that you also have a better service. It's more like your house. A resort, I don't think that you can really consider a resort your home like you can consider a cruise ship your home, because basically you a little bit more bound. It's a little bit that you, like tomorrow will be all day at sea, you know, tonight we are at sea. We're all here, all together, it's one destiny. We're navigating, you know, it's different. The feeling is different. And there is an ancient saying that also friendships that you make at sea, they are bound to last for a lifetime. And I think there's a lot of truth in this thing.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Grazie mille, merci beaucoup, danke schön, gracias.
No, thank you, Franco Pilli, cruise director on the MSC Preziosa. And that brings us to the end of today's Showbiz Show. If you want to learn more about my adventures on board the cruise, then head to the latest edition of Monocle magazine, which is on newsstands now. And remember to check out the slideshow at monocle.com/film. You've been listening to Culture. My producer was the never unknowingly white stilettoed Holly Fisher. Join me again at the same time next week. But for the time being, I've been Robert Bounds, and thanks for tuning in.